Let's pray.
Father, even before we read your word today, I want to pray for your anointing to be upon myself, upon this congregation. Lord, I believe what you've put on my heart could be life-changing for all of us. Every person here struggles. There's not a person here who's arrived. And God, you are still working on us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your patience. Now, God, help us as a church to be patient with one another. Help us to show mercy. And help us to be quick to forgive so that we can be more like you. I pray, Father, for your anointing to be upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, the title of my sermon is Unshackled, Set Free, Stay Free. Set free, stay free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. You've got your place. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I love the book of Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And now look down at verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And then let's look over to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then the last verse, verse 24, we're going to read. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add blessings upon the reading of His Word. Unshackled, set free to stay free. I'm not preaching on the 9 steps or the 10 steps or the 12 steps or how many other steps you need. I'm preaching a message that is life-changing. And we all need changing. There's not a person here who's not hurting. I think about the Armstrong family. They're here today and they're hurting and they need help. There's people hurting here today. We have people that have hang-ups, and everybody here has got some kind of hang-up. We all do. Some people say, well, you know, it's the hypocrites at church. Well, that's right. We all need help. None of us are all that we think we are, but we're here for help, amen? We've got our habits, we've got our hang-ups, we've got our hurts, and that's why we're here. Well, how do you get unshackled? How do you, you're set free, but then how do you stay free? When the church comes together, instead of singing when the saints come marching in, we ought to be singing when the chain gang comes marching in, because we've all got a bunch of chains hanging all around us. And that's the truth. We all are hung up. It reminds me of the story. A little boy visiting his grandparents was given his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods for a while, and he couldn't hit anything. He couldn't even hit a tree. As he came back to Grandma's backyard, he spied out her pet duck. On impulse, he took aim, and he let her fly, and sure enough, he killed Grandma's pet duck. Oh, desperately, he hid the duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his little sister watching. Sally had been there all the time. She said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Don't you, Johnny? And so she whispered in his ear, remember the duck? Well, another day went by, and Grandpa, he said, I want to carry the kids fishing. And Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me in the kitchen. And Sally smiled real big and she said, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to help in the kitchen. And she whispered again to little Johnny, remember the duck? So this went on for several weeks. Little Johnny got tired of it. And finally, Johnny went to Grandma and said, Grandma, I've got a confession to make. I killed your pet duck. Here's what the grandmother said. I know, Johnny. I was watching you all the time. I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But I love you and I forgave you. But I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave out of you. And I wonder how much longer we're going to allow not Sally, but Satan to make a slave out of us. Because, you know, a lot of us, we come in with chains and we feel guilty and we feel shame because we think, I'm just not what I need to be. And you need to join the club because nobody here, not one of us, including your pastor, is all that he ought to be. We are an imperfect people and we make a mess of things. But God knows how to take a mess and make a message, as she just sung about. He can turn us all around. What it comes down to this is our addictions have a lot to do with our appetites. And some of us are more hungry than others. We've got a lot of things going on inside of us, and there's a lot of reasons for this. I've heard so many stories. For example, a man was telling me how he was beaten by his father when he was growing up, and how his mother just treated him like dirt, and he became an alcoholic. Now, he wasn't trying to make an excuse, but what he was trying to do was deal with all the pressure and the stress of life. And everybody deals with it a different way. Alcohol certainly not the answer. And here's my testimony about alcohol. I've never taken even a drink, but I've never put myself above anybody that did, because here's my thoughts. What if I was to take a drink and like it and I couldn't stop? Possibility, right? That's the way I thought. What if I was to take a drink and then I couldn't stop? Because I liked it and I became addicted. Same with drugs. Same with porn. All these things that come against you. And we all are made up different. Our chemistry is different. Our brains think different. So the question is, how do you deal with all the addictions? How can you really stay free? Is what I'm going to get at. So I'm going to rush through a couple of these points because I think you know these pretty well. At the same time, I want to bring something home to you that you may not understand. So I'll just go ahead and give you this so you can get ready for my last point. Understand this, that you are made up of three. It's interesting how we are three. You know, I think of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, you are three. You're made up of body, and that's what I'm looking at, your bodies. You're made up of a soul. I don't see your soul. That's your mind, your will, and emotions. And that's where we're going to really talk about today, is your soul. And then you're made up of spirit. Okay, so we're three. We're spirit, soul, and body. So remember that, because it has everything to do with your addictions. Has everything to do with your hangups. Number one, you got to stand. And that's what Paul is saying to the church at Galatia. Stand and stand fast. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. And don't be entangled again. Stand how, church? Say it with me. Fast. The word fast means steadfast, grounded, not easily moved. The point is, you best be quick to stand fast because the enemy is going to be quick to trip you up in life. He starts early. I had the best class today I've had of children, a large group. And I asked them today, when do we sin? And they got to thinking, well, I remember my first sin. I lied. I took some makeup from mama, you know, whatever. They were telling me about their different sin. I said, actually, you were born into sin. We were born into a fallen state because we live in a fallen world. And if you don't learn to stand for something, you will fall for anything. It's easy to fall. It takes a real man, a real woman, a real boy, a real girl to have some standards, to be a person of integrity and say, I will stand and I'll stand fast. Know what you're going to do before the temptation comes. If you know that that's a weak area in your life, then go ahead and set your mind. Put this in your heart. Be steadfast and say, you know what? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from that. Remember the movie Fireproof and how the man took the computer outside and he just took the ball bat and he slammed that thing all to pieces. You know what? If you've got a problem with porn, that might be a good idea. Or like some man in our church, and I really highly commend, and I've entered into confidentiality with them and accountability with them, so I'll never say their name, but I'll tell you some things they've done. They've given their wives all their passwords. There's some men that don't even go on a computer because they know that that's an area they can't go. So the wife does it for them. That's some good thing. My wife, she has every password that I have. And I think there ought to be that accountability. You need to be accountable. Lest you fall, because don't you ever think you can't fall. Yeah, I mean, anybody can fall. Be fast. Stand your ground. Be steadfast. And then be free. He says, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Sin puts us in bondage, not sometime, but every time. Christ came to set the captive free. The chains of bondage are very real. The yoke of bondage that the world offers will choke the life out of you. It will. I mean, it'll kill you. Sin will carry you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Oh, friends, sin is nothing to play with. And if you want to live in freedom, understand that God has given us parameters that we really can be free. If you really honestly want to be free, then live your life in the will of God. Does that make sense? Because God's will brings freedom. Anything else brings bondage. Did you know that? Sure it does. When you are doing what God would have you to do, you are free. You're not free to do as you please because you know who you're trying to please. And you only need to please one. Amen? And one thing we're going to learn real quick here is that we're not under a bunch of rules and regulations. We're going to see that in a minute. All right, and then you need to stand faithful. And you need to remember this. I wish the words were bigger. I did this. I should have made them bigger. Not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's a very dangerous thing to go back where God has brought you from. Staying power says a lot about character. I appreciate you more than you know. I see the choir. I watch you as a church. And I think this when I see you. Your faithfulness says a lot about your character. And many of you are faithful. You're here week after week. And you know what you're doing? You may not even realize what you're doing. By you being faithful, just by coming to church, I'm telling you something. You're keeping the demons of hell off of you. You really are. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. And we'll get there. But staying faithful to your wife, staying faithful to your husband, staying faithful to your children, staying faithful to the one who saved you, staying faithful to your church. We have not been set free to do as we please, but what pleases the one who purchased us with his own blood. We've been bought with a price. Boy, I wish I could stay there longer, but I got too much meat to share with you. Number two, there's a snare. Notice what he said in verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Here we will discover the snare of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, I really got to get into this because the fact is the devil's got a trap for you just as soon as you walk out that door today. And one trap he has is that, and here's probably the trap, is for you to doubt God, for you to not stand on the truth of God's word. And you know what? This was happening in Paul's day. And what I want to share with you in the context that he wrote in, I want to share with you the snare of legalism. He says, you did run well. You were running well. In other words, he's thinking of a running lane. And he's saying, you were in the right lane to run. You were running in the lane of grace. Who came and got you off track? Why are you out of that lane of grace? Paul had taught the Galatians the grace of God, and the Judaizers were teaching legalism. The snare is that legalism teaches outer disciplines of man-made rules, while inner disciplines of God's grace teaches men to walk in the Spirit, living for others and living to glorify God. Legalism gets all puffed up in its rules and regulations, as did the Pharisees. Before long, we become proud of our spirituality, and then we become critical of others because they don't measure up to our spirituality. Every Christian has the responsibility to watch for the beginnings of legalism. The first bite of yeast that infects the fellowship, the church, eventually grows into a serious problem. And that's my next word, and I really want to hit a home run here on leaven. Because he says in verse 9, look at chapter 5, you still with me? A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Now, in the Old Testament, leaven, that's yeast, is generally pictured as a symbol of evil. Jesus spoke of leaven as a picture of sin when he warned against the leaven of the Pharisees because they were the legalistic people. They were the ones who said, you got to follow these rules, you got to follow these laws, and this is how we're going to measure your spirituality. I'll never forget one time I was in a deacon's meeting years ago, and I had a deacon speak up, said, preacher, how can we measure people's spiritual growth? Well, you really can't. That's called legalism. Here's what the evidence, if you want to see evidence of spiritual growth, it's right here in Galatians chapter 5 where he gives the fruit of the Spirit, where there's love, where there's joy, where there's peace, where there's long-suffering, and so on. He gives us a whole list. What verse is it? 22, thank you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We want our rules. We want our laws because that way we can measure something. But here's the problem. Then we get all puffed up. We get proud of our spirituality. Yeast is really a good illustration of sin. It is small, but if left alone, it grows and it permeates the whole. In today's culture, we're being taught this: tolerance in the name of love, political correctness. And most people find someone else or their circumstances to blame for their sin. That's where we are today. We lie to ourselves that a little porn will not affect me. In fact, I'm amazed that a number of people feel like, well, I'm special and I'm unique and I'm stronger than that. No, just the opposite is true. You are weak. And we all need to recognize the fact that without God's strength, we can't make it. Jesus said it best, without me, you can do nothing. You can't overcome your flesh. You know, you got all these self-help books. Guess what? Self can't help self. You can't. You can't. In fact, these addictions oftentimes take such a stronghold. The chains are so strong and so thick, you can't break them. And if anything, left undone, they just get stronger. A little leaveth the whole lump. We lie to ourselves that just a little sin is okay. However, unconfessed sin breeds an even greater environment for it to continue. And not only that, but it breeds an environment that demons, now listen to me carefully, I'm fixing to give you a great illustration here. We breed an environment, and I think this is the problem in our homes today. We breed an environment that demons want to hang out in. Let me illustrate it this way. Having trash in your house is a bad thing when it's not kept in a container and then taken out and emptied regularly. Trash or food left out on the counters or on the floor will breed an environment for roaches and rodents. They come in and they live in your house. It's like putting down a welcome mat for your new guest. The roaches will invite their cousins and their aunts and their uncles and their grandparents and make themselves at home in your trash. When you view porn in your house, you've got trash unattended. And the demons and the devils and the rodents and the roaches have found an environment that they can hang out in. They have said, oh, here's where we can live because the trash is welcomed here. And there's a lot of people that live like trash. They do. They're trashy people. They talk trashy. They tell trashy jokes. They act trashy. And no one's ever dealt with the trash. The trash has not been taken out. Similarly, I must have deacons on my mind. Lord, forgive me. Demons make themselves at home in sin. Now, we got some good deacons. We don't have any good demons, though. Now, I slipped there because y'all needed to wake up. I'm finding some way out of this series. But similarly, demons make themselves at home in sin, whether that sin is being committed or just remains around, because you know what? The word has got out. Hey, you other demons, come on over here. We got us a place here. And before you know it, a little has become much. And that's what sin does. Unrighteousness breeds unrighteousness. Disobedience breeds disobedience, more disobedience. Unlock a door that allows Satan and his demons to enter and influence all of a sudden. And you're not going to like what I'm about to preach, but it's the truth. Your children will be just like you. You don't want your child to drink, then you don't drink. He said, well, now, preacher, and I was talking to some guys one day. This was since I've been here. And I was taking a stand against alcohol. And they said, we don't agree with you on that. And I said, okay, you've got a right to be wrong. Anyway, so I said, well, what would you feel after church if I was at a restaurant, if I was down at the Grapevine or whatever that place is, and I had a glass of wine? Would that bother you? No? It would bother me. It would bother her. It'd make her mad. You know why? Because my Bible tells me to abstain from all appearances of evil. Anything that's going to hurt my testimony. And by the way, it will offend my wife is good enough, because I know her. I live with her. Boy, she would really get mad at me. You say, well, my wife wouldn't get mad at me. Well, you do what you have to do, but I have to live with her, okay? And by the way, I have to live with him. Amen. And my Bible makes it clear to me that I'm not to drink. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. You say, well, preacher, you can drink and not be drunk. I don't know that. I don't know that. If I drink, I might get drunk. The best thing for me, my policy is, stay away from the mess. Anything that's going to cause me to hurt my testimony or cause me to live outside of God's will for my life, I shouldn't be doing. That little leaveth will leaveth the whole lump. It'll get you. And we don't see that sometimes. We don't realize how attractive the roaches are to us. This is a mess, because we get ourselves in a mess, and before we know it, our children are saying, well, Daddy, I saw you looking at that picture in that magazine. I remember years ago, a little boy took his dad's Playboy, carried it to school with him, tore out the pictures. This is a public school bus, and gave it to every kid. Boy, did they have sex education that day. Every kid got a picture. Is that wrong? Yeah, that's wrong. Sure it is. But the bigger wrong is that the daddy had the book in his bathroom, and the kid took the book. You know, my policy, and I'm not better than anybody else, but here's my policy growing up with my kids growing up. If they can't go to the movie and see that, I shouldn't either. I remember the time we went to see the Titanic, and they have one picture in there. I said, oh, no, this is not fixing to happen. I said, we got to get out of here. And she knows I am so funny about that. I'm a funny person. We go see a movie, and they're going to start using God's name in vain. I found out this. You can get a refund. You don't have to sit there and watch that trash. And what am I trying to say to you? If you let trash in your life, you're inviting the demons, not only into your life, but in your wife's life, in your children's life. Your children, they're going to be hurting really bad because of your decisions, because of your addictions. Now, I've got some answers, and I got to get there so you won't get discouraged this morning. But the fact is, you got to name it for what it is. And nobody wants to name sin as sin. In fact, people don't want to attend church. Do you know the churches that are really growing today are the feel-good churches where no one preaches about sin? But the problem is, if we don't deal with our sin problem, then why do we even need a Savior? Hello? Thank God for Jesus, and I'm going to get there. All right. And then the last word here is lust. For the flesh, in verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. That's important that I preface this before I go on. Lust here means desire. We desire a new start, a happy life, a clean house, but instead of confessing and removing the sin or unrighteousness from our lives, we often end up settling for trash management. Now remember that phrase, trash management. We want to manage things. We want to move stuff here, adjust things there, hide stuff here, so we don't appear to have as much trash as we do. It is much like getting an unexpected guest when you don't have time to clean up your house. So you stuff things in a closet or in an empty room and push a few things under the bed. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been there and done that. I have too. The house looks clean to your guests, but the mess is still there to attract the roaches because you haven't removed the root attraction that brings them there in the first place. My hidden trash sin leaves a stench in and throughout the house, giving Satan and his demons a warm welcome to make himself at home. Lusting over porn sites is trash. Lusting over someone else's wife or husband is trash. And those things are a trap to us, and we think, well, nobody knows. But oh yes, you know, and God knows, and I'll tell you who else knows. The demons of hell know, and the devil knows, and they know that they're welcome there. Let me tell you something about my wife right quick. Now, I'm the one that has the sinus issues. That's why I got these circles on my eyes. And I've been to the doctor. He said, man, your sinuses are bad. And I said, tell me. But I don't want to have sinus surgery. I don't do that. But Sherry's got a nose. Man, she can smell something that stinks a mile away. I'm telling you something. I mean, she don't say a lot to me. But, you know, I'm the person that's supposed to get the trash out of the house. And I can just tell. She'll start going. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. I mean, she don't have to say anything. She got a nose now. Women can smell things, I think. And you know what? It's good. It's good. Because I don't like that smell either. But she smells it, and sometimes I don't. You see, that's the problem I want to share with you. You see, it's like this. God says, Ronnie, get it right. And I'll say, in a minute, Lord, in a minute. And God said, well, Ronnie, get it right. And I'll say, in the morning, Lord, in the morning. And I keep putting it off. And what's happening, I've built up a spiritual wax in my ears and I got this sinus problems in my nose. I can't smell it. I don't hear God anymore. And therefore, I've just let the demons and devils have a heyday in my life. It's easy to happen. Now, here's the key I want you to get. Number three is spirit. Because I want to say something that's going to shock all of you today. Because the fact is, we're going to see it in just a minute, your body did not get saved. And there lies a lot of your problem. Your body did not get saved when you got saved. And here's the other shocker. Neither did your soul. Whoa. I'm going to show it to you. So what got saved? Your spirit got saved. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you were spiritually dead. You were dead to the things of God. You didn't know Him, but all of a sudden, now here's where we start learning how to being set free and how to stay free. Because if you'll understand this, you'll understand how to stay free from addictions and so forth. Here's what you got to understand. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number one, I want you to understand your position. Verse 16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Keep in mind that you're made up of three distinct parts, body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes we talk as if our soul is the part of us that is made new at salvation. We say things like, Jesus saved my soul. However, the thing that was immediately made new when you became a Christian was your spirit. Your soul is in the process of being sanctified and made new over time. That's why you can be a Christian and still have an addiction. Or be angry all the time, or be even depressed, or even worry. Your soul, your mind, your will, emotions is still distorted, and it's telling your body what to do. Walk here is not talking about putting one foot in front of the other, but rather living a godly lifestyle. Here's the verse I want to give you, Romans 8:10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So when you got saved, your spirit was awakened. You were born from above. And all of a sudden, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. But not only in understanding my spirit in my position, but my practice. He says in verse 16, and ye shall not. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 25. Our position of righteousness is in Christ by the Spirit. Your practice of righteousness is in the Spirit. Paul is saying the Christian is free. He's free from the guilt of sin because he has experienced God's forgiveness. He is free from the penalty of sin because Christ died for him on the cross. And he is free through the Spirit, free from the power of sin in his daily life. Well, how does all that happen? Well, here's the process, and I'm going to wrap her up here. Fulfill, he says, you're not fulfilled the lusts of the flesh. Your soul is in the process of becoming sanctified and made new over time. The process is called sanctification. Satan wants you to think that your soul is what was made new so that you'll believe that in order to gain victory in the spiritual realm, you just need to focus on managing your mind, your will and emotions, so you can then get your body in line. He wants you to think that way because he knows you'll never be able to fix what your body does on your own. Your real problem is an unsanctified soul. We should equate that with the trash management. We're trying to manage only what God can do in sanctification by coming up with our rules and regulation. We're going to go back to the legalism now and the leaven. And we're trying to think, well, I can manage my emotions. No, you can't. I'm going to read. Do you know the number one seller among books is self-help books? I'm going to manage my trash. In fact, some of us think, I'm going to get me a trash compactor. I'm just going to pack this stuff down. I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to carry my trash out. I'm just going to keep pressing it down. Don, how much longer can you press that stuff down? I don't know. I thought about asking Don to bring his trash truck, and we let him demonstrate it. You can press it, and you can press it, and I don't know nothing about trash. But I guess after a while, you got to carry it to the dump, don't you? It don't last forever. Now, see, now, I love Don, because Don, he don't try to compress his trash. He goes around with his little truck and his little wagon, his little trailer, and he just shows everybody the trash he picks up. He don't compact it. He just carries it straight to the dump. You know, the fact is, sanctification is the work of God. It's not something Don's trash company can do. It's not something you can do yourself. The only one that can really manage your soul is that, number one, God does a work. What is the work of God? You see, it says in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Note the ownership there. Christ. You see it? Christ, and they that are Christ, we are owned and operated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification involves more than a mere moral reformation of character. It's brought about by the power of the truth. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing the whole nature more and more under the influence of the new graces and the gracious principles implanted in the soul in regeneration. In other words, sanctification is the carrying on to perfection, the work begun in regeneration, and it extends to the whole man. Much like if you don't deal with the trash in your life, you know, it will invite all the demons and all the devils and all the roaches and all the rodents of hell will be in your life. All right? But when you walk in the Spirit and you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the sole owner and operator of your life, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, then all of a sudden you're filled with love and joy and peace. In other words, you're getting filled with God. The Bible says be filled with the Spirit. Well, the Greek word for filled means to be controlled by. So the work of God is this, not a work for God. Some of us want to do this work for God. But the work of God is that God did His work on Calvary. And at the cross, Jesus paid our sin debt. yet. And that is where we are when we receive the finished work of the cross. Then that's the work of God in us, that we are crucified with him because Jesus paid our sin debt. But that is the work, he says in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified. The work of God in me is that Christ was crucified for me and I'm crucified with him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I'm glad you all stayed because this is the most important thing I got to say today on sanctification. Number two, the Word of God. Now, the work of God, now listen to me, the work of God was at Calvary. Jesus did his work. Now, here's where you step in. I've got some people here today, and they've been like accountability partners. I don't know if they understood what I was saying with all the texts I've sent them, but I've sent them text after text after text. People who are battling with addictions, have you read your Bible today? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He says that we have been crucified, and he says, with the affections and lusts in verse 24. If you have an addiction, here's the key. It sounds simple, but it's life-changing. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Folks, let me tell you something. Satan don't want you to hear what I'm about to tell you now. He'd rather you hear his lies about porn, about drugs, about alcohol, all the hurts you have, the habits, the hang-ups. But here's the word of the living God. And the Bible says, I said the Bible said, I'm going to say it one more time. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you want to be free from addictions, I'm talking about a chain breaker right here. The Word of God will break the chains of every demon, of every devil in your life. I'll tell you what, it'll get the roaches out of your house. It'll get the rodents out of your house. I mean, it's more than a hot shot. I'm telling you something. This Word right here is living. And if you start reading it and applying it to your life, let me tell you something, the demons have got to go. How did Jesus deal with the devil? He quoted scripture, right? Every time the devil, hey, Jesus didn't come up with some mystical word. He just quoted the word of God. And what did the devil do? He fled. Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How do you resist the devil? The word of God. A little girl was asked, what would you do if the devil came knocking at your door? She said, I'd send Jesus. And that's the answer. Because the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. You remember when I was talking about standing? How do you stand? By putting on the whole the shield of faith, put on the whole armor of God. And then last but not least, by the way, when your spirit, and that's where most, I mean, I dare say most of us here today are saved. Your spirit has been made alive. But the problem you got is your body and your soul. Your body will never get saved. You do understand that, right? Your body can't never get saved. Sorry. That's why in heaven we're going to be given a new body. Because this body, this flesh, what we live, this is just the house. This house can't go to heaven. No, this house cannot go to heaven. But your spirit and your soul will go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I met with Becky yesterday, and I'm going to use this at the funeral. I had the chance to talk to Sam once, and I don't know about anyone's life, and I can't answer for their life, but I can answer this. I said, Sam, do you know Jesus is your Savior? And he said, yes, I do, Pastor. You know what? That's all you can go on is what somebody tells you. Because you don't know anybody's heart, do you? Do you know their life? By the way, I don't know a person in here because I can't see your soul. I can't see your spirit. I see your house, and some of y'all looking pretty good. I mean, some of y'all really looked, I mean, you did good. You looked in the mirror. I can tell before you came. All right? But here's the mirror of God's Word, and God's Word tells it like it is, and we need to be told like it is so we can deal with all the habits and the hang-ups and the addictions. Last thing, the will of God is for you to be set free and stay free. It is God's will. He paid too dear a price for your freedom for you to live in bondage all your life. Some people live their lives like hamsters. I've never liked the little things, but you may like them. But I just think, what a waste of money. But anyway, some people live their lives like hamsters. A hamster looks outside his cage and he sees freedom and he decides to run for it. So what does the little hamster do? He gets on that little wheel with all his might. He runs for his freedom. He runs and he runs and he runs and he runs on the wheel. He's trying to get to the freedom. He's trying to get to the freedom, trying to get to the freedom. And soon he realizes he's not getting anywhere. So he runs faster. And an hour later, he's still on that same spot. And he's rolling around and around and around. You know, I heard the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking that you'll have a different results. An hour later, he's still in the same spot. Many of us have been trying to break the habit, the hurt, or the hang-up for years. And 10 years later, we're at the same spot. We've made New Year's resolutions to quit bad habits and to have better marriages and to do work on bettering our finances. A year later, we're in the same position. Why does this happen? We're using the wrong method. When we are trapped, we cannot change things ourselves. The only way for a hamster to find freedom is that the owner of that hamster to find the way, and he did, to reach down inside the cage and lift the hamster out of the cage and let him go. Somebody bigger than the hamster has to take over. Trying to get out of a cage situation using only your own human ingenuity, your own effort, is not good. It is not free will that makes us free. It is God's will that truly sets us free. And I want to encourage you today, because it's God's will that you not live in this bondage. You say, well, preacher, how do I get unshackled? You come, number one, and let God rebirth your spirit. You are dead spiritually. He was crucified for your sins so that you can be forgiven. You accept His forgiveness. He sets you free. How do you stay free? You get into the Word of God. You stay faithful to your church. You find a Sunday school class. If I had an addiction, I'd make sure I got me a support group. Not just, and by the way, I want to say this about Celebrate Recovery. What I love about Celebrate Recovery, it's all based on the Word of God. Okay? That's why this preacher said, I'll support Celebrate Recovery, because it's not about a bunch of steps necessarily. It's about standing on the Word of God. And if you stand on the Word of God, you can stay free. Hello? Are y'all with me? You can stay free. Now, next Sunday, we're going to go deeper with this on how to stay free. Satan wants to keep you bound up. Jesus came to set you free. Now, how many of you are hamsters and you want to stay on that wheel for 10 years more? I didn't think I'd see anybody's hands. But if I was to ask, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you really want to be set free and stay free? I guarantee you there's not a person here who loves to stay in that trap. Because you're in a trap. There's a snare. Jesus came to set you free. Your spirit is what Jesus makes alive. Your soul has to be sanctified by the cleansing of the Word of God. And I got to say this before we leave, because all of you, many of you are interested in your body. Living a healthy life will cause you to live better. Your body will function better. If all you ever do is snack and you eat fast food, that's not healthy. But if you're eating the good balance of God's Word, you're in church and you're balancing your life out, you better be glad. Aren't you glad there is a place you can come to today? Yeah. Amen. And that we can learn that we have a body and a soul and a spirit. So here's what I want to ask you, church. Don't beat other people up, because it's a process. Don't beat people up because maybe you say, well, if he's saved, and don't beat yourself up. If I was saved, I wouldn't be doing those things. No, you just have an unsanctified soul. You can be saved and still have an addiction. Yeah. You just got an unsanctified soul. And what you need is you need some soul food. Amen. You need food for your soul. All right, here's food for the soul. This invitation. It's a great song. It's a powerful song. It's about setting the captive free. It's your choice. I want to say to you today, God's reaching down right now. He's reaching down in that cage. He's reaching over there, and he's got you in his hand. Don't resist the one who created you to pick you up out of that cage and set you free. Receive Jesus as your Savior today. If you know Christ as your Savior, find a place at this altar and say, God, I'm surrendering myself to the Word of God. I'm going to read this Bible every day. And every time you pick this up, I promise you, the roaches, the rodents, the demons, the devils have to flee. They can't stand this. There's power in this. And that's why a lot of us don't read it, because the devil's lied to us. We don't have time. But this is the deterrent. This is what will take care of the demons in your life that's trying to destroy you. Let's all stand together. We're going to give this invitation. No one moving around. I'm going to ask no one be exiting the door. This altar's open, and I'm going to ask you right now to come. We're going to sing this song. You come. God wants to break chains today.